Curry tried to draw contact again, had the shot blocked. Here comes Siakam, sidestep, layup is good. Wow, what a quarter for Siakam.
It does not matter who's in front of him, he is having his way. Aggressive with his foot on the gas pedal and making big-time offensive plays.
Pascal Siakam, one of the stories of the night as the Raptors handle the Warriors in Game 1 of the NBA Finals. 118-109 was the final. Siakam scored 32 points. He missed only three shots on the night. Toronto now takes a 1-0 lead in the series. Game 2 is on Sunday. Do you guys think the Warriors are in trouble? Because my gut is telling me, my gut and my eyes are telling me, the Warriors are in real trouble.
The thing about last night's game was that it felt like a, oh, you've limited Kawhi Leonard, and yet he might end up being the MVP of the season, even though he wouldn't win the award. The same way that Steph Curry can have numbers that aren't that impressive in an NBA Finals, but he was the key to success. The Warriors did everything they could to limit Kawhi Leonard, and they did a good job of it, but they didn't realize, and Draymond Green didn't realize, oh, the Siakam kid has actually turned himself into a nice basketball player. So the big question is, if Durant doesn't come back, let's say Durant doesn't come back at all, and if he does and he's not effective, can the Warriors stop turning the ball over as much as they did? 17 times?
16.
16 times. And can they limit guys like Siakam? Can they lessen a little bit of the damage of Gasol, all these otherwise relative role players? I think they can. If I were a Warriors fan, I wouldn't be too worried about all this.
Siakam's going to come back down to earth. He didn't miss any shots for like three quarters. Fred VanVleet as well. That guy's making way too many ridiculous shots too. Marc Gasol,
though, you know, he's like, it's not that he's going to keep that up, but he was on a scoring slump, on a shooting slump.
This isn't continuing. I don't buy it. But Marc Gasol, what Marc Gasol is doing, I would be concerned if I was Golden State about Marc Gasol's performance. They don't have an answer for him because if Gasol can actually, Gasol can stretch things out,
right?
But he also can push Kevin Looney around. So there is something that they have in Marc Gasol that I don't think the Warriors have an answer for. And we saw Boogie Cousins out there last night, but that did not look like Boogie Cousins.
Did not look great. It looked large. They got outscored when he was on the floor. Not by a lot, but it was more the way that he looked. It just looks like the Raptors have more good players. That's the way I'd put it. Like, it just looks like, again, it's one game, but it looks like they have more good basketball players. Now, the Warriors can overcome that if Klay plays better. And I know Draymond had a triple-double, but I think he's got to play better as well if you actually watch the game. The Raptors, to me, last night looked like they have more good basketball players.
They looked better in the third quarter, and then they were able to sustain that for the most part. I think that they looked like they were better in transition. It looked to me like the Raptors took advantage of the Warriors in transition, and that the Warriors, I know, can fix that.
The biggest problem the Warriors have is they've run into a team that's playing really good defense.
Yes.
None of the teams that they have played so far have played really good defense over the whole season. The Raptors have played excellent defense, and especially recently, the whole time.
Every single shot that the Warriors took,
hard.
That took a lot of effort just to get two-point looks. And give the Warriors credit, they made a lot of them, but they made it really difficult for them to get anything open from outside, and that's how they beat you. That's how they come back, and that's how they weren't unable to do it. Every single time it felt like they were making a push, it stalled at about a 5-point deficit.
Mike D'Antoni back for one more year, but he broke off contract extension talks with the Rockets. Tilmer Fertitta tells Mark Berman of Fox 26 that he offered D'Antoni what he thought was a good deal.
I made Mike a great extension offer. It was one of the better base salaries in basketball, but also had the highest incentives in basketball. Mike could make $4 million in incentives. And if you talk about, it was $4 million worth of incentives. And if you go from the second round to winning the championship, you can get there real easy, okay? And I've always, you know, business is business, and I'm a very incentive-based guy. And if you perform, I want you to do unbelievable. And if you don't perform, then let's always just sit down and talk about why you didn't perform.
Yeah, that's some of the kind of wizardry you try to pull on some 24-year-old that you're like, you're the 24-year-old says, I'd like a raise. And you say, hey, listen, buddy, if you're worth it, If you trust in yourself and you think that you've got the moxie to pull it off, then we'll pay you. Here you go. Like, no, it's a relatively free market when it comes to trying to attract coaching talent. And if your MO over time is going to be like, hey, all you have to do is win the championship and you'll be a millionaire. Like, oh, these guys are already millionaires. Like, they're not schmucks. Like, it feels like something you try to sell a schmuck. Do you think Mike D'Antoni's a schmuck?
Nope.
$4 million in incentives, Mike D'Antoni. Woo! Think about how rich you'll be. Like, come on. What are you trying to sell me here?
The words if and really easy are not compatible. And he said, if they make it to the NBA Finals, it's really easy to get that $4 million. That's been so easy for the entire NBA over the last 5 years.
The Rockets haven't made the NBA Finals since 1995. Think about how easy that is. Listen, here's what it is, folks. The Rockets don't have the guts to fire Mike D'Antoni, but they're too cheap to pay him. That's the bottom line. They don't have the guts to fire him, but they're too cheap to pay him what he's worth.
Because it seems like they're scared of having to pay the sunk costs if you move on before.
Yes.
Like, you just don't want that dead money on your balance sheet. And that's, Mike, that's what you've pointed out, the difference between running restaurants and running a professional sports team, is that there are differences. There are things that you're going to have to absorb. There's hits you're going to have to take. That's just the price of doing business. So you're in limbo here. They have an incredible team and the potential to be, well, they have a very, very good team with the potential to be incredible. And it feels like the Rockets are trying to package this and sell this like, hey, we're being aggressive. Like, it's driving me insane that people are describing the Rockets' approach as aggressive just because you've been taken in by the snow job that Tillman Fertitta is selling, and that, like, hey, we've got high standards. We're not going to settle for less, but we're going to do it on the cheap. Like, come on. Those two things are inconsistent.
I agree with you fully on that.
Don't listen. Don't believe everything rich people tell you in life, all right?
Very important.
This is just a very important rule in life. You're going to get screwed over time and time again if you sit down and believe everything rich people tell you.
Next headline, the Texans have finished up the second week of OTAs. One thing that's impressed all of us is how good Deonte Foreman looks heading into his third NFL season.
I feel way better than I even felt coming into any season that I had at the University of Texas, possibly even high school, to be honest. I mean, I guess, like I said earlier, basically with the injury that I went through and just the ups and downs I went through, like, you know, when you have an injury like that early, you know, you can tell that this game come and go. You know, like, anybody can get injured and, you know, you could be at your high and then be at the lowest in a split second. So, you know, just me being able to understand that, you know, I just wanted to come out and, you know, put everything on the line and, you know, have a great offseason.
So Sean Pendergast made this point on the Triple Threat Thursday that Deonte Foreman's status, the way that he looks, is making Sean reconsider and actually think about betting the over on the Texans, which is 8.5 wins. Would you go that far, that one guy, Deonte Foreman, would change your opinion so much on this overall team?
Sean knows his gambling. It seems like running backs and tight ends and wide receivers are never worth as many wins as you expect them to be. So I would just say no. Like, I can't go on Deonte Foreman, a relative unknown, is that.
I agree. If you told me the same thing about Titus Howard, not based on his shape, but something that he was doing out there,
yeah,
then that's the kind of thing that would make me go over a win total like that, but not just Deonte Foreman.
I feel like we're all of a sudden we've talked our way into this situation where we're acting like Deonte Foreman is returning to a status rather than like proving himself for the first time. He still hasn't really proven that he can be a good running back in the NFL.
Yeah, he was promising his rookie season.
Exactly. I'm excited about him. But yeah, it's like Bill O'Brien's project there at Penn State, Hackenberg. Everybody talked about Hackenberg like he had this incredible freshman year. He had a promising freshman year with a couple of super stud wide receivers. So likewise, Deonte Foreman did some things that were promising, especially right before he got injured in his rookie year. But we still don't know a lot about him.
Foreman being healthy, Foreman being promising is not close to enough for me to go over 8.5. You need the secondary to really make a lot of headway this offseason and the first half of the year. If Bradley Roby was showing me something right now, and he wasn't out there this week, then that, okay, yeah, awesome, fantastic. But that's the only person I feel like would be making me feel a lot better about picking over 8.5 for the Texans, which I think is fairly high.
Mad Radio on a Friday. Mike, Seth, and Paul. Vandy's in this morning at 8 o'clock. He's going to give you a possible breakout star this year in 2019. Time now, as we do every Friday, for Positive Paul.
Yay! A lot of people are mad about Drake and the fact that he is taking over the NBA Finals. I love it. I can't get enough of it. It started with the Toronto Raptors apparently asking Drake to maybe sit somewhere else. I guess Rogers Sportsnet made a proposal to him and the people that own the arena that the Raptors play in, where he would move seats so he wouldn't be so close to the players and in the line of sight for the cameras. The Raptors said no to this request by the arena, which means that last night we saw Drake sitting courtside wearing a Dell Curry number 30 Toronto Raptors jersey from the late 90s, early 2000s.
That's pretty funny.
It was a brilliant troll move.
Yeah.
Not quite so brilliant, you know, the tattoo that Drake has on his left arm, number 30, number 35, for his two favorite players, Steph Curry and Kevin Durant. But he had an armband over this to cover it up.
He's one of the biggest Warriors fans out there, really. Raps about them practicing at his house.
But he's really the heart and soul of the Raptors.
He's the heart and the soul of the Raptors in at least 10 other NBA cities.
Really the Toronto Raptors.
At one point, we got snookered into believing he was a Rockets fan. He's a fan of, you know what he is, Mike? He's a fan of the sport of basketball.
He's an ambassador.
Yeah. He is an ambassador. He is literally the Raptors' global ambassador.
I've sat here and I've tried to figure out a way that, like, at some point somebody might be able to say in your face to Drake, but there's nothing you can say. Like, he's incredibly wealthy. He loves the Raptors. He's enjoying the success, but I feel like if the Raptors lose, he'll be depressed for all of 3 seconds. And while that might great at you, it does nothing to him personally. This man might have the most charmed life, and all credit to him for working his butt off to get there and everything.
Start
and
from
all
the bottom.
Yeah, all of that. But like that drives me even more insane because I keep picturing myself as a player out there because Draymond had some words with him after.
Steph in a different sequence.
I keep just picturing myself as a player out there, and you get this like this dude that's talking smack and everything and knowing there will never be any comeuppance. Like, you know that there's just nothing I can do about it. The NBA maybe is having him curb it back a little bit. Sorry, Paul. I'm rambling about... I'm turning positive Paul into a negative Paul.
Drake is the best part of these NBA finals right now, and especially because the Raptors won a game. I did not think they were going to win a game in Toronto. I honestly didn't. I thought they were going to be down
0-2.
I thought they were going to be down 0-2, going back to Oakland and ultimately losing in 5 because I thought that they would somehow scrap one out in Oakland. But this is fantastic because now Drake is going to be even more insufferable. Whether it's going up and getting in Draymond's face or getting in Steph Curry's face, this is going to be a very amusing sidebar to the NBA Finals. I like it. I mean, didn't we all, if we go back and we watch that 30 for 30 where you see Spike Lee and Reggie Miller in Winning Time, I mean, that's a fantastic little sidebar to what was a really good series between the Knicks and the Pacers. It was fantastic. I like this kind of stuff.
Spike Lee, more artistic merit to his work, so I give him a pass.
Fair.
And he's doing it in a real basketball city that hasn't been a real basketball city since Spike Lee was relevant.
Jeff Van Gundy said something to the effect of last night that this was like the most overplayed or overhyped story in the NBA.
No, it's fantastic.
Yeah, he's crazy.
It really is good. Look, this is something that we will be talking about probably 10 years from now, especially if Toronto ends up winning. It's an amusing little sidebar to this game and something that only can happen in the NBA where you can have a really famous celebrity getting in the face of some of the best players in their respective sport in the middle of a game.
Sounds a whole lot of Jeff Van Gundy saying, hey, this isn't the Drake show. This is the JVG and Mark Jackson show, baby.
Maybe.
You got to pay attention. Hey, up here.
It's Positive Paul. I don't want to start talking about Mark Jackson and what he is doing to affect my breakdown of the NBA Finals, but I will move on to something good that John Dorsey did. Yes, something good that John Dorsey did. Have you guys heard the story of Damon Sheehy Giuseppe?
No.
He is a Browns wide receiver. So this is a guy who played junior college at Phoenix College, but in 2016, he didn't get a scholarship, so he started looking for opportunities at a bunch of different places. So he had a credit card, and he went on a tour of Division I universities in 2017. He went to the SEC, went to the Big 12. He wasn't able to go anywhere. Then he decided he was going to move to Florida and start with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and he was going to go to every facility he could all across the country to see if an NFL team would give him a shot. He then went to Las Vegas for a CFL tryout, paid $100, ran a 40, did his workout, nothing. An Arena Football League tryout in Atlanta didn't work for him either. So then he decided, okay, he was going to work out for the Cleveland Browns. Basically, he worked out for the Cleveland Browns by claiming that he knew Alonzo Highsmith, even though he didn't. He just walked up to the tryouts, and they asked him, do you know Alonzo? He said, yeah, I know Alonzo. So at the tryout, he runs a 4.38 40 at the tryout. Only five receivers at the 2019 NFL Combine ran faster than that. And he's there in Miami. He runs a 4.38. He got invited to the official tryout, but he had nowhere to go, so he slept outside at a 24-hour fitness center and used a training facility he was using to prepare for his eventual workout that he had after the 4.38 40 that he ran. And he's going to have a chance to make the Cleveland Browns this offseason. So if you're looking for a good story that involves John Dorsey and the Cleveland Browns, this is the man. We're talking about Damon Sheehy Giuseppe.
It bothers me that how does a guy that can run a 4.38 40 just fly completely under the radar for this long? This reminds
2016,
me of,
man. He's been just like a wandering man looking for a tryout anywhere.
Where did he play? He didn't play in college?
Phoenix College. He was a junior college All-American kick returner. He didn't get a scholarship, so he went looking for scholarships.
Mind you, Seth, this is not the University of Phoenix online program. This is actually Phoenix College.
Who knows with this guy? He claimed he knew Alonzo Highsmith.
He did.
Maybe he made, does that college exist? Do we actually know that?
Apparently it does. I did like the part of the story where he introduced himself right to Alonzo Highsmith after he walked in to make sure the story would at least hold up.
Oh really? Yeah. He went over and was like, hey Zoe. What it is? Remember the times that we hung out together?
What it is. I think that's a good bit of ingenuity in this kiss party. It's like, listen, I got to make up some stuff, but I also need to do some things to kind of back up what I'm doing here.
So there you go. And one last thing to wrap up for Positive Paul. The Spelling Bee, the Scripps National Spelling Bee, it ended last night with an 8-way tie.
Yes.
We have 8 champions.
What the hell? Participation ribbons for all these?
No, it's great.
What's going on here?
All these kids.
That's the demise of America right here, that all these kids that are much smarter than me are settling for 8th place, tied for.
All 8 got the full $50,000 cash prize.
Whoa! Yeah.
Damn, that's impressive.
I'll take that participation ribbon. How do you have a tie? What, did they go like 18 hours or something?
They got to a point where they said, the announcer said, champion spellers, we are now in uncharted territory. We do have plenty of words remaining on our list, but we will soon run out of words that will possibly challenge you, the most phenomenal collection of super spellers in the history of the competition.
Wow.
They had 3 rounds after that, and not one person went down after those 3 rounds.
So they figured, all right, we're into the easy words now. There's
exactly.
No way.
Yeah.
I blame computers. I think computers are training these kids too well. You need to lock them in a room for 2 years with nothing but paper and pen.
The South Asia Spelling Bee claims that this would never happen at their Spelling Bee.
It seems like maybe for next year they'll have to change things up a little bit
to
avoid it.
Although South Asia, apparently, all the countries of South Asia?
I would assume so, yes.
All 11 of them? I don't know. I just took a stab there.
How would you know?
There's probably like 200,000
nations.
South Asian. Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. Right? Isn't there? No?
No.
Oh, okay. Just